there's so much sort of bad mouthing of the ego that goes on. Yes. Got to get rid of the ego. Got to transcend the ego. Kill the ego. The ego is the evil bit in all of this.
Right.
It's the ego that's getting in the way. I don't see it that way at all. I don't even like to make the ego a thing either. If I look inside myself, I don't find anything called an ego. What I find is egoic thinking. There's an ego mode of thinking, which is very much about me, what I need, what I don't need, how to get things done. It's this problem-solving mode that I get caught in. And the problem is not the ego itself or this ego mode of thinking. The problem is being caught in the ego mode. The ego is there to serve us. That's its job, is to help us. It arises as an ally. It comes up when there's something to be attended to that concerns the welfare of this body. Something needs attending to, whether it's a need that needs to be met, danger that needs to be avoided. So this mode of thinking comes up to help this being navigate its way through the world. When its job is done, it should just fall away again. Like, you know, when the dog realizes that sound was nothing, it goes back to resting. The problem with us is it keeps on getting triggered, keeps on going. So it's not that the ego mode arises, it's a natural thing. But we get caught in it. So the challenge is, this is the first thing to say, is it's not getting, for me, it's not getting rid of the ego, but recognizing when it's over-insistent and that we don't need it. How do we step out of it? How do we step out of it? When you realize your thinking in meditation, when you realize you wandered off on some thought, that's almost invariably the ego mind doing some of its job, trying to work things out for you or for the world in some way. It may not be for you, but it's like it's working things out in some way or other, or trying to assess things or planning, whatever. I mean, I'd say you've got three basic jobs, either working out what's happening, what's right, what's wrong, making decisions, and then planning how to make it all happen. When you realize you're thinking in meditation, you've woken up to it. You're no longer caught in it. And that's why I say you then don't follow the thought, but you just come back to the experience in the present moment. You're stepping out of the ego mode. You're not feeding it anymore. You're saying, okay, thank you, but just come back to the present moment. And I take the same attitude in life. When I notice, you know, the inner voice of the ego, sometimes it's that critical voice, you stupid. Or you're no good, you know, you should exercise more. Why don't you do that? Whatever. You know, it's that voice. I take the attitude now of, first of all, thank you. It's trying to point something out to me. Maybe it's pointed it out 100 times before, and it's like, thank you, got it. But to listen to it, because nearly always there's some little thing in there which is valuable, some little thing, not to discard it, some little thing there just to say thank you, that's enough. And I love you. You know, you're trying to help me. You're trying to help me. It's a different attitude. It's not seeing the ego as an enemy. It's seeing it as an ally that's out of control. But then it doesn't need beating back into control. It's just like, okay. But it's like stepping out of it. If you see it that way, it's not something like, I've got to get rid of the ego once and for all and be done with it. It's going to come up many, many, many times a day. And then the practice is stepping out of it many, many times a day. And gradually that gets easier. You get to recognize it in its subtle little callings, its little games that go on. It's like, ah, I gotcha. But to take that attitude, it's a friend that's actually trying to take care of you. But as the Course in Miracles says, it doesn't actually know your own best interest. It has got locked into its idea of what's going to be good for you. And that's where the holding on comes in. It's the ego that holds on. It holds on to its idea of where you're going, what's important. And so the letting go is, well, first of all, letting it in. I said letting go, I reframe it as letting be. Before we can let things be, we often have to let things in. Allow them to come in, because sometimes we don't know what it is we need to allow to be. So for me, the first step in letting go is let in. What is actually the experience in the moment? Letting in whatever the thought system, whatever the ego is telling you. Letting it in, accepting it, allowing it to be. And in doing that, it dissolves. There seems to be this basic rule that, well, Jung said it so nicely. He said, what you resist persists. And then Erno Erhardt made it famous. But it was Jung who said initially, and he was talking about the shadow. Jung, what you resist, if you resist it, it stays in place. When you allow it in, there's something that happens. There's a sort of almost like psychic metabolism that takes place. When you allow an experience in, it begins to dissolve and release itself. And if you can do that, you know, with the ego's thought system, just allow it in, and it begins to just, you find it just dissolves.